You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker on Monday, March 9th, 2026. Thank you for joining me, Sean, to bring the community an update from the Wood County Sheriff's Department.
Oh, always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for always having us every month.
And you just recently got back from a vacation.
Where did
you go?
I went down to Florida, down to the Naples area. My dad has lived down there for, it'll be 25 years this year.
Oh, wow.
He retired when he was 60. And I had him on the show a couple of years ago. It was kind of funny. I had to trick him to come here because he wouldn't, you know, if I said something ahead of time. But I always, wanted to have him come on. And so we got in the parking lot and he was like, "Why are we here?" I'm like, "Oh, radio show. Come on in." He's like, initially he did not want to come, but he did. And it went great. But yeah, he's been retired now 25 years at a kind of a gated community in the Naples area, golf course. And that's kind of been his passion. He's still, you know, he's going to be 85 in a couple weeks, and he still golfs, you know, twice a week.
Oh, wow.
You know, gets out. You know, I don't think he's as he hits the ball as far as he used to, but he's a good golfer, and that's been his passion the last several years.
Yeah.
So it's been
staying
great.
Active, and it keeps him young.
Yeah, and it's a great place. It's just that area has grown so much, the Naples area, Fort Myers and whatnot, just throughout the years. We always go down there with the kids, Julie and I, and this year Jordan and her husband David and our grandson, who is now 9 months old, flew down with us, and he did great on the plane. We had a nice week relaxing and got a round of golf in, lost a lot of balls, but hey. That's
somebody will find them and they can make
exactly.
money on them, right?
Yeah, I think they do that.
They'll collect them and resell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but no, it was great. Really,
sounds
thank
like good
you for
family
asking.
Time.
It was
wonderful.
Yeah, it's always tough leaving, you know, but it is what it is. My dad's going to come up in July around the 4th and stay a couple weeks. He usually does that, and then we have a place up in the Crandon, Wisconsin, where our daughter Jordan and David, our husband, live and grandson.
Yeah.
And so we'll go up there and hang out too. So looking
spend
forward
more
to
more time with the grandbabies. You got to get it when as quick as you can because they sure change fast.
Oh my gosh. 9 months already. You know, from, you know, he was born a preemie and everything went good with that. And yeah, now it's nice to see him grow and the personality develop, you know, and evolve. And
do you see anything of your features in his face?
I don't, hopefully not. he smiles a lot. You know, he's very, you know, pays attention to people and, you know, if you sneeze, he cries. He doesn't like the loud noises, but you know, if you just, you know, stare at him and smile back, and then he laughs a lot. So it's awesome. You know, it's awesome. Love getting the That's opportunity fun. To see him. We usually, Jordan does, she's a dispatcher for Oneida County Sheriff's Department. And then they have a schedule that she'll get time off during the week. And she comes down, you know, probably every other week with him. So we get our fix.
Yeah, get your grandpa time.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get to catch up last month because you were gone down to Madison working to educate lawmakers on the cryptocurrency kiosk scams that have been happening here and across the state and probably the country.
Country, yeah.
So you're educating them on the importance of passing the legislation to protect people against these scams. So let's start with what it was like to sit before a Senate subcommittee to talk about the Senate Bill 975 and Assembly Bill
968
to talk about these cryptocurrency scams.
Interesting process, you know, from the start of it through over 3 years ago, we started seeing these scams. And, you know, and I got to give Lieutenant Scott Goldberg a lot of credit and our investigators and the approach that we took with these scams. Because you're seeing our seniors getting scammed all the time because people know that they've saved, you know, a lot of money, their life savings, and it's just unfortunate that they continue to get scammed at many different levels, you know. And here with the crypto currency, the ATMs, the kiosks, you know, all of a sudden they started popping up all over. And, you know, we're not against cryptocurrency. I think that's, you know, the future, you know, the electronic wallets and stuff. But with these kiosks, you know, we were tipped off on it when somebody made a complaint. They lost like around $19,000.
Oh my.
Where they took out of the bank And our banks do a great job trying to educate people, and especially our seniors when they're, you know, taking out those large cash transactions, just to at least talk to them a little bit about, make sure they're not getting scammed. But in this particular case, the person put all that cash into the kiosk, and that electronic wallet was created, and the scammer got access to it. And then within minutes, it had changed hands, and it was out of the country.
Wow.
But, you know, our approach was, you know, as we, you know, talked about it, we're like, okay, wait a minute, that cash is still evidence. You know, so we started like, okay, why don't we, you know, talk to our district attorney and, you know, see if we can get a warrant, a search warrant to that machine, and then recover the cash. It's mm-hmm. evidence. And the district attorney agreed. The judges agreed, you know, and we even went to our county attorney like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And so we started that approach right away and recovered the money. And then we chose to give the money back to the victim, because most times that does not happen.
Hmm.
So as those scams continued, you know, we shared the template of the search warrant throughout the state, and some other agencies were also doing what we were doing. The first one, you know, the company that owned that kiosk did not cooperate with us, even though we had the search warrant, and we gave them a time limit. And if you don't, you know, open this up and let us recover the victim's money, we're going to do it ourselves. And we wound up doing that.
Oh, really?
And really destroying the machine. And then from there, that got their attention. So as we continued to have those scams, we would, you know, get the, you know, serve the search warrant, you know, on those companies, recover the money, and then we'd give it back to the victim.
Hmm.
Well, the companies started to catch on to that, and then they sued us, you know, and unfortunately we settled with one of the companies for, you know, the money that we recovered. So we had to change our tactics. We still serve the search warrants on these machines, but we keep the money with us in our evidence room, and we wait until we get a court order and who's going to get it.
Mm.
So that kind of how it built in these. And you're right. You know, you mentioned they're all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and they're not regulated. You
right.
know, and 3 years ago, there was two states, I believe, that had regulation on them, like California, and it might have been New York or somewhere out east that, mm-hmm. you know, were regulating these ATMs. And so we started talking to, you know, Senator Tustin, you know, Assemblyperson Krug, and, you know, and other, you know, representatives, like, hey, we need to get something going here, because here's a, you know, people are getting scammed, and there's no regulation on, you know, putting in thousands of dollars,
right.
you know, and so it kind of started to grow from there. And it's been an interesting process, you know, going down to first testifying on the Assembly Bill 968, and that passed unanimously with the Assembly. And then the next process, it goes through the Senate. And so then we got asked to come down to testify, Scott and I, on, you know, representing not only the citizens of Wood County, but the Badger State Sheriff's Association, the Wisconsin.
And that's Scott Goldberg?
Scott Goldberg, mm-hmm. Yeah, Lieutenant Scott Goldberg. Yeah,
okay.
So we both went down and then testified. It just seems like a common sense thing to pass. The Senate was very supportive. You know, I understand the cryptocurrency lobbyists are not. Mm-hmm. They prefer not to have the legislation, and I understand that. But the bigger fact for us is they're protecting the people, you know, especially, you know, our seniors.
Right.
And it, like I said, I felt it went very well. We should find out, I'm thinking this week, if, you know, if it passes the Senate. I think it will. I really do. And then hopefully it'll get to the governor very soon to sign.
Well, because they don't have any regularly scheduled floor sessions left. So
correct.
It would have to be a special, and I'm forgetting the term now,
yeah.
but where they do kind of an emergency or whatever, a special session or something
yeah.
like that, to get it before the governor.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, hopefully you know, our lobbyist from the Badger Sheriff's State Sheriff's Association has been in contact with us, and she thought it might be tomorrow that
okay.
the Senate will get it, hopefully this week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping to get positive news on that and share that with everybody here. But it was just a different process to
yeah.
go through, you know, from starting that 3 years ago, you know, and how we were dealing with it. And we did not really change much. You know, I think a lot of law enforcement agencies maybe got nervous over getting sued, you know, because these are new and, you know, and I just looked at it as, you know, this is evidence, you know, and we're most likely not going to be able to prosecute anybody because they're out of the country. So why not give the people their money back?
Well, because that physical money is still in the machine. I mean, that's logical.
Right. And some people think, no, that's our money now, or, you know, whatnot. And then the other thing with these, you know, buying crypto, you can do it for free. You know, there's apps out there. There's a lot of ways to do it. With the ATMs, the people that own them are charging like really large fees, 20 to 30%.
Ooh. So if when you're talking about like thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars there, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot that they keep. And it wasn't funny, but just, you know, as we shared that template of the warrant and people were doing it and they stopped doing it, some of the companies see there's different Bitcoin, I think is one of them. There's different people, different companies that own these ATMs. Mm-hmm. And some were honoring a refund, but they would keep their user fee.
Yeah.
And then they quit honoring them in Wisconsin because of the way we were handling these investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell us that, you know, they would, be emailing Scott, like, you're doing things illegally. And like, no, we're not. We're, you know, our warrant is good and we're getting signed by a judge.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I mean, we're doing,
that's how warrants work.
Correct. And, but they were, and I told the Senate this, I'm like, you know, they can say that they're working with law enforcement, but they're not, you know,
and you have the receipts.
Yeah. You know, the emails, sending the phone calls and I appreciate the fact that they're willing to do a refund, but they're keeping their user fee. You should give it all back.
Yeah.
You know, but they quit doing the refunds, some of them, the companies, because of what we're doing throughout the whole state.
Huh.
It's like, you know, I get it, maybe in Wood County don't offer a refund, but, you know, if you have other jurisdictions you're willing to do that, that shows you're working with us.
Right.
But this shows you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if the lobbyists had any reply to that, but it's just, you know, it's an interesting process to
follow it that long and to take all the steps and see how it, you know, the nuts and bolts of how it works. That had to have been fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, Absolutely. Hopefully we'll have an update on that soon, and we'll be able to share that with our listeners. We've got to take a brief pause here to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay talking with Sheriff Sean Becker, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I'm speaking with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker, and where we left off, we were talking about cryptocurrency scams and the legislation that's moving through the Senate and the Assembly to help regulate those machines.
Correct.
Now I'd like to turn and speak on a more somber topic. We recently had the anniversary of Deputy Michael Shannon's death in the line of duty. That was on March 7th, 2003. Can you share about that?
Yeah, tough, you know, law enforcement moment. At that time, I was a patrol deputy, and I was part of our special response team. And, you know, throughout my career, I've been through, unfortunately, many, you know, officer in the line of duty deaths. And this one was very close to home, obviously. And Michael Shannon was from the Wisconsin Rapids area. And I don't know how many years of service that he had before his passing, but I remember it quite well because we responded to it. But the situation started where Michael was leaving. He wasn't scheduled to work that day, from what I recall. And he had court, and he was leaving the courthouse and heading home. And a call came in on a property dispute on some trimming some trees or something. I think the township that the suspect lived in was in the right of way trimming trees, and he was upset about that and then was armed. And then Deputy Shannon was the first deputy on scene. And it happened really quickly where the suspect shot him right above his bulletproof vest. And, you know, obviously a lot of the deputies and other agencies close by responded to it. I believe Sheriff York, the current sheriff right now, had transported Michael to the hospital where he passed. And then from there, you know, we were mutual aid, you know, requested to come down with our special response team. And then Juneau County did. And then you just see this huge, massive response of law enforcement agencies from all over the state. You know, when we arrived, the perimeter was already set. And then you had, what I'll always remember is, you know, we're getting off of our bus, it basically was, and, you know, we're starting to, you know, get our gear on and, you know, okay, what are we going to do? And then you have your leadership teams working together and how are we going to arrest this person? Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember just our SWAT team leader and then the Juneau County SWAT team leader arguing on how we're going to take this person in custody. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, and I get it, they're like, hey, we're just going to go in there and get them. You know, but you have to look at the safety for everybody that's there right now. And our team leader, Lee Garrels, one of my many mentors, was, you know, they're kind of arguing. It's pretty heated. Like, no, we've got to come up with a plan on how we're going to get this. He's already killed one law enforcement officer. He will do it again. We knew that. So we developed a plan, working together. Like I said, very, I wouldn't say chaotic, but just kind of organized chaos. And then once we had our plan put together, we're going to have the suspect come out, call him out from an armored vehicle, and then have a couple of canine units apprehend him. Felt that was the safest, but we still would have a closer perimeter. And I'll never forget, we were doing that, making the announcements. I think the Sauk County, their special response team there, they were in charge of, you know, making the commands, have him come out. And the person did. He did come out. And then he saw some of Juneau County SWAT team and then shot at them. And fortunately missed. Juneau County returned fire. Missed him, but he acted like he got shot. And mm-hmm. I just remember this because I was maybe not even 100 yards from this with my SWAT partner at the time, Scott Drew. So as the suspect went down, we assumed, like, okay, he got shot. Everybody rushed in to, you know, do that medical assessment right away and then place him in custody. Well, he didn't get shot. He was just pretending that he did. So mm-hmm. we arrested him at that point. And then, you know, it's just one of those things that you just don't forget when you're right there, yeah. You know, dealing with this person, you know, wanting to take out more law enforcement officers. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, he didn't. And, you know, like I said, the organized chaos as we went through it, it worked out. You know, when you have your leadership people working together, even though they might have a difference of, like, how we want to do this, you mm-hmm. have to look at the big picture of, you know, how we can make this, you know, as safe as possible for us, right. as well. And I really respect Lee for, you know, standing up and saying, hey, no, let's put together a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, because our team and Juneau County's team at the time, we were in the inner perimeter. We were going to be the ones having to deal with arresting this person. Right. And you know, working together, you know, it happened without anybody else getting hurt. Mm-hmm. The suspect was found guilty and then went to prison and has since, you know, passed in prison. But just something to think about, you know, Michael and his family mm-hmm. and our law enforcement family. You know, he was a graduate from Mid-State Technical College, went to the police academy, not police, law enforcement, drawing a blank, mm-hmm. You know, the certification process, that 2-year associate degree. He graduated mm-hmm. from Mid-State Technical College and local person. And it's just something that, you know, we shouldn't forget, you know, any yeah. law enforcement death is a tragedy. But the local ones really hit you hard.
Yeah. And that happened in 2003. Mm-hmm. And here in recent years, we've seen definitely a lot of interdepartmental training that yeah. happens together. Do you feel how do you feel that training has changed since 2003 to now with interdepartmental?
Very important, and because we're all on the same team. And if we can offer a training, whatever it might be, you know, with a new facility, we have a training room, which we have been using for those opportunities, not just for our agency, but, you know, everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing to note, our special response team, you know, we work very closely. You know, the first people that we call for help is Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, their special response team in Marshfields, you know, mm-hmm. and then we have Portage County. And we train often as we can together. It's sometimes hard with the schedules, but we make that a priority, especially with our special response team. And we actually combined our special response team with Marshfields. So we're training with them monthly. And mm-hmm. then we'll always offer up the opportunity to train with Wisconsin Rapids, which we do. Mm-hmm. But that's probably the biggest thing that I've seen is, especially on your special response team, your SWAT teams, is that joint training, I think, is really important because as you know, we just talked about with this scene where you had a couple people kind of arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if we train together, we kind of really know what to expect.
Right. And you know the kind of the chain of command, and
yeah.
and it keeps the officers safe, and mm-hmm. and it enhances the safety of the community.
Absolutely, you know, that's a big picture of it. You know, and then you share the equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have an armored vehicle. Wisconsin Rapids PD does not, but they can use it whenever they need it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's vice versa if another agency has, you know, some equipment, because that stuff is expensive.
Right.
You know, we'll definitely share that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we're kind of coming to the close of our interview here, let's touch on a couple of very positive and things. We've got a new school resource officer position at Auburndale School with Jesse
Nels.
Thank you.
Jesse Nels. Yeah. Something, you know, the school district did not have a school resource officer, and, you know, our deputies did a great job while school's in session. You know, we required them to be up in the area, you know, during, you know, the morning hours and afternoon hours, especially when people are coming and going to the school and doing walkthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, deputies would get out, and which was working out pretty good, but it was always an idea that the department had, you know, it'd be really nice to have somebody assigned there during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
Just as the school resource officer, and the leadership at the Auburndale School District agreed, you know, so it's a great process to go through to, you know, not only just the county board level or county level, but also with the Auburndale School District, because mm-hmm. you had two entities that had to work together to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a contract with the school district that a portion of Jesse's salary is being paid, and the county's obviously paying the other. And we had 100%, you know, support from our county board to, you know, add this position to our budget, which is, you know, that it's expensive. You know, employees are expensive. You know, you look at the salaries and benefits, and mm-hmm. but for both sides to step up and do this together, it's just it's working out great. And Jesse's doing an awesome job, and he wanted to get a therapy dog, and I'm like, I'm not against that at all. I think that those are our therapy dog we have in our jail is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Susanna's doing an awesome job
with Lola.
Yep, with Lola. Well, now we have Rip.
Okay.
So Jesse has, it was his dog, but we went through some training.
Mm.
And it's a non-shedding dog, and it worked out good. The school district supported it. Obviously, we did. So mm-hmm. we added a therapy dog with his position. So it's going really well.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this might be a slightly different topic, but there are definitely some traffic intersections up there near Auburndale in that school district that are especially dangerous crossing Highway 10.
Absolutely. We had a fatality. It's over a year now. And
but it doesn't seem
attention.
That long ago.
Yeah. And we only can control, the sheriff's department can control what we can. And our deputies have done an outstanding job. Operations Captain Charles Hugestegger, you know, oversees our extra patrol efforts that are all just targeting Highway 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knock on wood, I mean, it could still happen. We could have a tragedy get up there. But since that last one, we haven't. And we've had some crashes, but we've been paying a lot of attention. I believe DOT is going to do something
mm-hmm.
to change at least that intersection of Highway 10 and 186, because mm-hmm. it's a problemed area. It's very high-level traffic volume, you know, on 10 and 186. Mm-hmm. And you're coming into Auburndale. So you've got your buses, you've got, you know, semis, you know, it's a very highly traveled road. So,
and students that are driving themselves to school that are newer drivers.
Right.
It's I drive that route quite a bit, and having to turn there, it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of push for an overpass. Probably should have done that right away when they made that, when they made the adjustments or expanded Highway 10, but, you know, I'm not throwing anybody on a bus, but, you know, I'm hoping that there'll be some change there. I think DOT will do something. It just takes a long time, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But we can control what we are, and that's with the extra patrol efforts, and I believe that, you know, what we're doing is making a difference.
Well, good. Quickly, in our last mm-hmm. moment here, K-9 Bingo is coming up soon, March 26th at the Elks Lodge.
Yeah, doors open around 4:30, and we did it last year. It was pretty successful, something different.
Yeah.
We had two very successful golf outings, crediting the people that helped us make that happen. And let's just try something different. And bingo seems pretty
It's very popular.
and
I hope, it's serious.
Yeah, some people are right? taking it very serious. Mm-hmm. But we'll have, baskets for, raffling off, some gun raffles, and then obviously bingo.
Nice.
And so the Elks are great partners. They got a great setup there. Yeah. They provide the people to help us out, and mm-hmm. it's looking forward to it.
Should be a good time.
Yeah.
Well, I very much appreciate you taking the time to come and talk with us today, Sheriff Becker. I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker. Thank you for taking the time, Sean.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.